Well, good morning and God bless you.
My name is John Saunders and this is Sunday, February 9th, and we're here at the Lawrence's Sunday Morning Fellowship. And what I want to share on this morning is be the unique you God called you to be. Sometimes we can get into a mode of thinking where we think like, there's one right way to be a Christian, and my job is to learn that one right way and to live that way. Now, there are eternal truths that are common to all Christians. I don't mean that there's no truth, there's no standard, we can all do just whatever we want. But really, God is so interested in you uniquely living out the gifts that He has given you. So let's start in Romans 1:20. And I'm going to read the ESV version because I thought I liked that translation. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And there are other places where it talks about this, but this verse is saying, you can tell things about God by looking at nature and how nature works. So, nature does tell us about God. Have you ever seen a beautiful sunset? Was every sunset that you saw exactly the same?
No.
But were they all beautiful?
Yes,
they were. How about a beautiful flower? Right? Every woman likes flowers. People like flowers, right? They're beautiful. And I did a little research online, and scientists think that there's somewhere between 240,000 and 370,000 different kinds of flowers. So does God like a little bit of variety here? I think so. And even if you think a rose, one rose can differ from another rose, but they're still roses. They're still beautiful, or carnations, or whatever. Let's see, what is it? Abigail really likes hydrangeas. That's one of her favorite flowers. And it's all good. When you look at a tree, is every branch evenly spaced and are all the leaves of the same size? No. But it's still a beautiful tree. If you look at two maple trees, you can tell it's a maple tree and they both may be beautiful, but they'll look slightly different. So what does this tell us about God? Does He want this everything's rigid and exactly the same and uniform and carbon copies of one another? No. And look at God's church. Look at the people that He calls. Look around this very room right now. There's a lot of variety. That's what God likes. That's what God loves. God loves diversity. He loves originality. He loves uniqueness. And He sees beauty in it all. So, let's talk a little bit about that. And this is going to talk about the one body of Christ, which I know you've heard teachings on before, but I really want to emphasize how much God calls us within the body to be the unique person that He called us to be. So we're going to start in Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God asks us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And it's sort of funny in the Greek, because sacrifice means dead thing. So He says, present yourself a living dead thing. But the whole point of a sacrifice in the Old Testament is they took a lamb or a cow or a goat or an ox or whatever it may be, and they killed it. So it was a dead thing. But one of the things about that is it was a sacrifice. Once that ox had been killed and cut up and, you know, burned on wood, no more ox. Everything you gave in totality. So what God is asking us to do is says, give who you are in totality, all of you. Right? Another way that He says it in His word, and I know you're very familiar with this verse, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And again, that's another way of saying giving everything that there is about you. You see, God placed gifts within each one of us so that we could give them completely and totally back to Him and to the world and to the other believers around us. And that's really what the one body is about. And we can't be afraid to be unique and to give the unique gifts. And we'll see that's exactly His plan as we read through these verses on the body of Christ. So He's just said, give your whole self. And He says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, we're not supposed to make up things in our own brain, but we're supposed to see things and God sees them. And He's now going to explain how God sees them. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, they use the word members here in the Bible, but, you know, nowadays we would use the word organs or pieces, right? So, because He's going to talk about hands and feet and eyes and nose and all that. So it's all the different parts. Members sounds sort of like you're part of a club or something. But what He's talking about is just all the different pieces and parts and functions and organs in the body. Look at the human body. How different are the different organs of your body? Does your eye look like your ear? No. Does your hand look like your foot? Well, maybe a little bit. It's got five appendages on there. But for the most part, no. Does your elbow look like your nose? No. And that's what God has encouraged us to look at. To look at ourselves as being part of a whole. Now, even though all those parts of your body look very different, it's all one body. This is me. this is all, you know, even though this finger is me and that toe is me and this ear is me and this hair is me, it's all part of me, but they're all very different in texture and color and function and what they do. So then He says, having then, now that we've looked at the body, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The context of these verses are gifts. Now, probably every Christian believer, to some degree, will prophesy, or minister, or teach, or exhort, or give, or lead, or show mercy. Those are things that every believer, to some extent, might do, right? But here He's talking about gifts. Some people have a real gift to prophesy, or to teach, or to lead, or to give, or to exhort, or to show mercy. And what He's saying is, let those gifts come out. Have you ever wondered if you're slightly strange because it's like, you know what, this person just really loves to teach and it's not my thing. That can be okay. Or, on the other hand, have you ever thought, you know, I'm really good in sitting down and encouraging somebody one-on-one? And thought, but that's not very important. You see, sometimes we get into our mind that, oh, there are certain things. You know, if I'm up there teaching, then I'm, you know, more spiritual. But what God is saying, each one, He has placed gifts into each one of us. And that's what He wants to give out. Right? The reason He placed those gifts in you is the world needs them. The reason he made you to be the way you are with all your uniqueness. You know, if you can paint or if you can sing. But not everybody has to be a painter or a singer. And some people will teach. And some people are just gracious and show hospitality. I think of Lee Stewart. Bless her soul. When you were in Lee's presence, you just felt at ease. You felt welcome. You felt special. That was a gift. That was a gift. So, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God presented beforehand that we should walk in them. We are, and that word workmanship, a lot of us know, is the Greek word poema. It's like a poem or a work of art. And they say, well, if it's God's work of art, then it must, of course, be a masterpiece. And I would agree. And we've been created in Christ Jesus. Each one of us is individually created in Christ Jesus for good works. Does that mean that, in the generic sense, the good works of being a Christian? Sure. Believing God, showing mercy, showing kindness to others, all the wonderful things that the Bible exhorts us to do. But I believe it also means that Lee has been individually created for good works that no one other than Lee could do. And Aldo has been created for good works that no one other than Aldo could do. And Madonna, and Mike, and John, and Lindsay, and Lee, and Yuna, and each one of us has been created for good works that he individually called us to. He knows our name. He knew us before the foundation of the world. And I'm not going to read it, but if you read Psalm 139 sometime, it talks about when I was yet unformed in my mother's womb, you knew all my days before there were any of them. So do you think he had a few ideas of what you might do with a few of those days? You know, when we talk about being fearfully and wonderfully made, often we think about, oh yeah, just how the human body works together and all its parts and all its complexity. But it's also every thought and intent of your heart, every experience you had through your life to form you and to make you into what, you know, God, where God was sending you into the world to be that unique and special presence that would show forth his light and glory. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to see the same thing of the one body. And just notice how many words here talk about the differences and the uniqueness, and at the same time, the unity we have in God and in the one body. There are diversities of gifts. That's what we were just talking about. But the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. So ways of serving, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So there are differences, but it's all God working. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God emphasizes the differences in what he has given to people and what they do, but that it is him working in it all. Even the nine manifestations, he didn't say there's one manifestation that does everything. He said there are nine. They have different prophets. Now, he's given all nine to each person to operate, but even within that, distributing each one individually as he wills. And we know, you know, we believe that it's not God wills and he's only going to give you two of the manifestations and you three and you five. But part of it is his working in you to really manifest in that, you know, can you do all nine? Absolutely. Do you need all nine? Absolutely. Will you maybe be gifted in a few more than others? Yes. There are people that have a real gift when it comes to gifts of healing or working miracles or the manifestation of faith. And that's okay. You know? Because God energizes people to do what he needs done in the world. For as, and then in verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And here he's talking about, right, diversity, Jews, Greeks, slaves. You know, there are other places where he talks about there's neither, you know, male nor female, slave nor free. We all come to the word from different places, with different talents, with different experiences, with different genetics, just the way we're wired, everything about us. And yet God's heart and his desire and his love for us is that we can be part of the one body of Christ, molded together, working together, the body growing by the energizing in each part of Holy Spirit within us. That is his heart. It's not that we're supposed to come and look and judge and compare and try to be like other people. God had a you in mind. He didn't have, okay, I need, you know, 7 billion generic, you know, uniformly Christian, you know, whatever, Christians. He wanted all the richness and diversity and flavor and texture and loud and soft and everything in between of the body that he called. And all we have to do is look around and see that. The point again, many members, but all working together, just like all the parts of your body work together to bring glory to God, to spread his love, to spread his joy, to spread the gospel, to bring what he wants to the world. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? You see, that's thinking you've got to be like everybody else. You know, these verses address the lie that the adversary tries to plant in our brains sometime about, because I'm not like someone else, because I'm not as good as this or that as so and so, I don't really belong, I'm not really important. This happens when we start looking at other people and comparing ourselves in a negative way. And this is sin. This is sin. It sounds like humility sometimes, but that's sin. That's not the way God wants us to look. There are plenty of verses about quit comparing yourselves to each other. We're supposed to be looking for what gifts has God given me and how do I get those out into the world? How do I get the unbelief and the sin and the negativity about myself or others or whatever else? You know, the things in my mind that aren't quite right, right? The renewing of my mind. How do I get those out of the way so that the gifts God placed in me can get out into the world? That's what he wants us to do. Especially look at verse 18. God has set you in the one body just as he pleased. You were meant to be here. You are meant to belong in all your uniqueness. You know, sometimes, you know, you can think, why am I this crazy sort of unique sideways person that I am? I know there are times I think it's like, man, I just seem like often I'm the outlier in some way. And they're like, you know what? That must have been what pleased God. That's part of what he wanted. You know, sometimes, you know, you wouldn't need a whole meal of, I don't know, cayenne pepper. But you know what? It adds some spice to the meal. Right? It adds some spice to the meal. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Going on. Now we're going to see the other side. Now there are, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. This is the other side. This is the arrogance that can creep in when we start looking at other people, getting into comparison again, and comparing ourselves and thinking, oh, we're superior. This is also sin. Actually, this is probably the easier sin to see, right? Because the Bible talks specifically about being puffed up and arrogant and prideful and all that. But, you know, it's not like, well, I'm glad I've got this together, and I'm not like that poor person over there, right? You know what? God wants all members in his body. He set us here as it pleased him. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division, no walls, no barriers in the body. I mean, think about it. How would your human body work if, like, part of your body was, like, completely separated from the other parts? Right? There'd be like no blood flow to it. There'd be, it wouldn't, it'd die, it'd atrophy. It can't happen. Your body, by definition, works together. Every cell in your body, to some degree, is affected pretty much by every other cell. Because if one part's diseased, the whole body feels bad. The blood, the oxygen, the nervous system, it all coordinates the whole body. There's no division. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. It's seeing ourselves as, yes, unique, special, a member in particular with gifts to give, and at the same time, caring for the good of the whole. Right? I can't say, oh, the fact that person is, you know, sick or way off, veering way off the word. That takes part, something from me. I suffer with that. And also being able to say, wow, that person is really cranking. God is blessing them. And to be able to rejoice in that and not think, oh boy, you know, I'm not doing as well as they are. Again, comparing, judging, rather than just saying, they're part of me. That's great. That's great. I rejoice for them. I rejoice for their joy. We are all to have the same care for another. We are all important. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. In case you haven't gotten the point by this time, because I've been hitting you over the head over it about 12 times. You're the body of Christ. Oh, yeah, that's right. Members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that ministers, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Again, God is emphasizing the diversity of how the one body of Christ works together. When you think about it, even when it came to ministers, right, the gift ministries, one didn't do it. He didn't say, oh, there's one size fit all, that's the perfect minister. He said, nope, there are five: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And even beyond that, there are ministries of administrations and helps and everything else. Because that's what it takes to have a vital body, all those members working together. The more excellent way, to walk in the love of God. And we know that because, you know, right? I show unto you in a more excellent way, and then he goes into 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about the love of God. That more excellent way is to walk in the love of God. When you're walking in the love of God, you will put aside all the comparing and judgment which is not of God. You see, that is the love of God. It is treasuring each person as the unique and special gift which God made them to be to the body of Christ and to the world. To see the good, to celebrate the good, to celebrate the uniqueness, rather than worrying about, are they doing better or worse than me, and where do I stand? You know, it's just not what God wants. He wants us to rejoice and to love one another. So in summary, God shows us through his work, through nature for sure, and tells us through his word that he loves uniqueness and individuality, and that is part of his design. In particular, that is how he designed the body of Christ to work together. So love your uniqueness and seek to bring glory to God by pouring out your gifts. So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you do love us so individually and specially and uniquely, that you saw us before the foundations of the world, that you called us, that even each hurt and sorrow and twist along the way that has still helped to form us into who you wanted to be, and you knew about it all. Help our hearts to ever turn towards you, towards your love and your goodness, and to rejoice and love the nature of Holy Spirit and Christ in us that you've given within us, and also the unique and special gifts that you've given to each one of us, so that we can boldly bring those gifts out into the world through your love and through the walk by your Spirit to bring glory to you and blessing to your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.